SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, coming up on hour three, and just coming back to a piece of news that Jay Pribman has broken. That is that Midnight Bisou will remain at Churchill Downs after her third place finish in the Oaks, and Jeff Bloom placing her with Steve Asmussen to point for the East Coast, the abundant East Coast opportunities. For three-year-old fillies, why those opportunities couldn't be exploited by the very capable Bill Spahr, not explained. Just a shameful. I don't even know what to say. Neil Drysdale, I'll welcome you in, and certainly you've seen it all in your Hall of Fame career. I find this kind of news disturbing.
It happens all the time, though. So,
yeah,
not a good thing.
Well, you have a good thing when it comes to Toinette, and she touted herself, Neil, coming into the Edgewood that workout. She looked like an absolute little freight train, and then goes out, gets a dynamite ride by Flavian Pratt. Talk about winning the Edgewood.
Well, I don't think everything went so smoothly for Flavian, because she got hammered at the brakes, and now she's at the back. And then he sort of got, he was a bit stuck. And I think, and then even at the eighth pole, I didn't think she had any chance of winning at all. But then he was found a seam, and he finally got out. And we always knew that she had a turn of foot, because we'd seen it in some of the other races. So anyway, it was a thrilling finish. And I wasn't sure whether she'd got up or not got up, but anyway, she did. So, and she was responding so well. I'm not even sure. I have to go back and watch the rerun, whether he even had time to take his stick out.
the way she was flying,
the way she was flying.
Yeah, this is a serious group. The three-year-old Philly Turf division, Neil, looks exceptional. And, of course, it handed Rushing Fall the first loss of her career.
Yes. No, it was a strong race. It was stronger than we anticipated going in.
You know, and you did come in. It is interesting because some of the West Coast horses, particularly the dirt horses, came in on top of the race when it came to, you know, the features. You came in a little bit early, and you had been at Keeneland, of course, because of the allowance opportunity. And so it's almost as if you've had a two-step plan attacking the Edgewood.
We did. What happened is she was running, going to race at Santa Anita, going a mile, and she reared up as she was going into the gate. She reared up, and Bejarano fell off her. Whether he jumped off her or fell off, I could never tell. Anyway, she was loose and ran around and was scratched. And so then we came up with an alternate plan, because in other words, wouldn't be another race for Santa Anita for a month. And you know, this time of year, we don't really want to give a three-year-old a month off. And so we came up with a secondary plan, which is going quite well at the moment. So it was a fallback, but she's going well, and I would just probably back off a little bit. I haven't discussed it with the owners yet, but I'm sorry, I'm just sounding a little bit. I'm watching some horses work out the gate.
Sure.
As we talk, so. interrupting myself.
Not at all.
Hang on a minute. Let me just watch.
Go ahead.
Go. Nice. Anyway, going back to where we were, I haven't discussed the plans of the owners, but probably back off a little bit now. And I think, well, my feeling is that she settles well, so that she's gone mile and a quarter. So we'll probably be looking at the Belmont Oaks.
Now, that was going to be absolutely my next question, because she's out of a Sun River mare, a New York bred. That,
yeah, and Sun River, as we know, he was a mile and a half job, wasn't he?
Yes.
So that leads me to believe, looking at the pedigree, that she'll run on.
You started her. If we go back to the Breeders' Cup meet, the Bing Crosby meet at Del Mar at the end of the season, you debuted her. You did start her on the dirt. Was that just the function of getting a start out of the way?
Yeah, we just needed to get a start in her, and she showed a lot of talent that day. She came from way back, and nobody
yes.
had been closing that day. Nobody had been closing on that track, and so that gave us the indication that she was talented. Mind you, she'd been working very well in the mornings as well. And then she missed the break going 6.5, and she was out the back last and had no coming down the hill and got up to win. And that was a big surprise, too, because she missed the break. And normally when you miss the break going 6.5 down the hill, that's the end of it. So that was good. And I liked her race at Keeneland because that was a strong field. At Keeneland that she came across in the allowance race. It was, as they say, a hot race.
Hmm.
And there you are. You've got it.
She was a $110,000 Keeneland yearling, and the owners were just so tickled, Neil, and it was such a fun scene. Who picked her out? And give us a little of the background.
Well, my wife is a bloodstock agent, Sean Dugan.
Sure.
And she picked her out. And then we bought her on spec and then went ahead and syndicated her. Well, it's a partnership. It's not a syndicate. It's a partnership. So it's a partnership between Mr. Hudson, who we know well, and Nick and Lisa Hawkins, who spent a lot of time in Russia, came back. He was running a company in the United States. And now he's just moved back to England. He's English. And Mr. Kenny Barker, who is a resident of Delmar.
Very nice. Well, who developed the filly? Where did she go for her early training?
Her early training, she was in with Bill Harrigan.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
She didn't go far. She stayed in Lexington. So.
Exactly. Obviously, there's so much upside here, and a tremendous performance. And I don't know if you saw the figure, but a 91 buyer, not as important really on the grass. However, it is notable, 4 career starts, 67, 75, 84, and 91. I mean, she is number one with a bullet developing.
Good. that's encouraging.
Turn our attention to Saturday, because I said to you in the winner's circle, all right, you got a bookend, and you got to now we got to get Madam Stripes around. And you know, she was traveling, Neil, I thought, very well. I'm not sure that the inside part of that turf course was the place to be Saturday.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it was, because I think it was deeper. And he said that he had a lot of horses going down the back, and it was really going well and smooth. And then as soon as she came off the bit, you know, as soon as he went to ride her, she just started to slip and slide. And so he didn't. So I was pleased with the result that she even finished fifth, because she wasn't handling it down the lane at all. And I agree with you. I don't think she's on the best part of the course.
The reason, and it didn't...
She'll come home. Sorry?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, because the other horse. You can compare notes with Jeff Mullins, because River Boyne was in the exact same place and had the exact same amount of success.
Yeah, that course drains to the inside, so it's always wetter on the inside, if I remember. It's a long time since I've been racing there, but I seem to remember that's how it went. You know, so, and then, we ran on Thursday, we ran a nice winner called La Sardaigne, and I think she's got a major future. She won that race well, so she'll, there again, I have talked to the owners, but I should imagine they'll want her to go on to New York.
Very nice. Well, you mentioned something that I got to bring up, because I quickly sent out a picture of the winner's circle and you and Flavian and Toinette. Your last graded stake win at Churchill Downs, White Hart in the Woodford Reserve.
Really?
2001.
I have no idea. Yeah. How about that? Time flies when you're having fun.
Well, and of course, the year before, you had done all right at Churchill Downs in a graded stake.
we don't often go there, but when we do, we try to make it pay. Yeah.
And that you have, and that you did. What is it like when once you've won a Derby, and of course we won't even. I happened to see a picture of AP Indy up that was put up yesterday. Mike Spector went out to see him, and once you've won a Derby, when you go back there on the weekend, what's the sensation, Neil?
Well, I think, as the racehorse trainer, you always listen to the future. You really do. And I don't know of any racehorse trainers that dwell in the past. You're always worried about where your next winner is coming from and what's going to happen and the young horses that come into the stables and, you know, the future and the potential of things. So, I think if you have time to reflect, then, but as a racehorse trainer, you don't have time to reflect. You're going to kick on with it and get the horses looked after and talk to the owners and get on with the upcoming week.
Absolutely. Question before we go, too. I've got to ask your impressions of the Derby and the Derby winner.
Well, I thought the track was, you know, I mean, they got, I think, what was it, 2.5 inches or 3 inches of rain in total. You know, and the track looked pretty messy. You know, I thought that was an outstanding performance to be going that fast. I mean, as you well know, it's difficult to make up ground on a slop. You know, he's in the right place. It was an impressive performance. But at the same time, it was sloppy, and you can get away with going 20, whatever he went in, 40, what did he go in the fractions?
45 points. Yeah.
So you can get away with that in the slop. And I'm sure that's why he was up there, wasn't it? Because it was sloppy, and that's where you need to be, because you don't make up any ground. And I think when you look back, and I haven't analyzed the race that closely, but it just seems to me that didn't they go in like 204?
It did. Exactly.
So how fast did they go the last quarter?
Slow. 27.
And change?
Yeah.
Yeah. Difficult race in the slot. It's always difficult to analyze races when they've been running the slot, would you not think?
No doubt. And part of it is that, you know, the field gets spread out. You know, certain horses start taking a face full and they back out of it. And now all of a sudden, you got ground to make up. And those two leaders weren't coming back to anybody
too
quickly.
No, I think I thought, and Good Magic put up a great performance as well.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. I got to ask you about a maiden that's going to come out Friday, Majestic Eagle.
Yeah, no, I like that horse. He's a developing horse. He's had a couple of unlucky trips. So he's drawn on the rails, so I hope everything goes well for him.
And that's on Friday in the fourth race. Well, and you and Mr. Hierensperger, David Hierensperger, longtime client. And he's getting close, this horse, right? He's the three straight seconds.
He's been knocking on the door. I think it was that the other day, it was his third second, but he was out the back the other day. You know, he's been a bit unlucky in his starts.
Well, Neil Drysdale, it's always a pleasure when we can connect with you, and it was great to see you and congratulate you in person over the weekend. Looking forward to getting
you to
New York.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you.
Not at all. Just a terrific performance by Toinette, and I think we have a forgivable circumstance when it comes to Madam Stripes and her fifth place finish. But if you watch those two races, if you go back and watch the Turf Mile and the American Turf, and both Madam Stripes and River Boyne, they're both finishing fifth, and they're both traveling well. And then when they turn for home, it's as if they're on a treadmill, and they weren't able to make up any ground. And so I'm heartened to hear that, as Neil mentioned, that you know the comment came back that it might have been a little softer and down inside and difficult, as Pratt suggested. So that answers a couple of questions. But they you'll see it. If you watch both those replays, you'll note that. Let's take a break. I love it's so much fun to talk to Neil Drysdale and invoke Fusaichi Pegasus. And that was great. He didn't even remember that White Heart, a winner in the Woodford Reserve, as it used to be called, up until 20 minutes ago, up until the old Forster this year. Let's take a break. Rusty Arnold, Funny Duck, it's unbelievable. I don't know. He's usually more cagey at Keeneland. But boy, oh boy. That was very tough. Was very tough to come up with. But 2 years in a row, Brad Kelly's Calumet Farm and Rusty Arnold have won the Pat Day Mile. It's pretty cool. We'll talk to Rusty. Looking forward to and a lot more. Bob Baffert, bottom of the hour. Stay with us.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig-Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra-impressive, in the Carter, he flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breads at the Fasig Tipton 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 into hour three. Digesting everything out of the Oaks Derby weekend, and that horse that we just talked about with Neil Drysdale on Friday in the fourth at Santa Anita, Majestic Eagle. First foal out of Double Tapped. This is a Winchell product, and Double Tapped, a full sister to Untappable. Yeah, and of course that would make her a half sister of Patty Oprado as well. But Double Tapped is Untappable's full sister, not as effective on the racetrack as Untappable. But she did win a race. She was 1-for-9. Double Tapped. We have to have Rusty Arnold day one of the Derby Oaks weekend, because when we get to Wednesday, we're going to be handicapping for the big pick six carryover that'll be forced out on Thursday, because there's a pick six carryover at Churchill from Derby Day, thanks to Rusty Arnold and Funny Duck. And Rusty wins back-to-back Pat Day miles for Brad Kelly and Calumet Farm. Last year, Rusty, we were all over Wild Shot. This year, we were shaking our head as the black jacket with the gold chevrons was storming down the middle of the track. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it was quite a day. Last year we loved that horse, and this horse this year had trained great, but we tried him one time on the dirt. It was a sprint, but he just didn't lift his feet, and we moved him over to the grass, and he got very good and solid, and Mr. Kelly had said, let's try him on a dirt again. And we said, okay. And we trained him towards this race, pointed him to it. His works were good. They weren't spectacular. They're good and solid. And, you know, then we got the weather, and he took to it just really, really well.
He certainly had a wet track pedigree, but you still had to somehow elevate him performance-wise to put him ahead of any number of horses here, Rusty. And that's why he was 40-1.
Yeah, it was one of the more solid Pat Day miles there's been, I think. A good group of horses. It isn't like he got lucky and beat a bad group. He beat a very good group and did it the right way. I mean, he didn't get away good. He stumbled pretty good, which might have turned out well. And Sarah and I were watching a race from the tunnel on the big screen trying to stay dry. And, I mean, you could tell at the half-mile pole, I told her, I said, this horse's going to be near the lead when they turn for home. It's going to be up to him then. And he was just gaining on every stride down the backside. And he cut the corner. He just waited for room and then just kept on going. So it was quite a performance, I thought.
There's a couple of interesting portions about this horse. That includes the fact that he's out of a Seattle Slough mare. which is astounding. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a Seattle slough mare, you know, being on a current page.
Yeah, there aren't many of them left around, would be my guess. And I actually haven't studied to see how old she is, but there can't be many of them left.
It looks like this was the last foal for Slow Down, and just a fascinating series of events. And in fact, her dam, Corazona, was the dam of Almodovar, as it happens, as well. So there was pedigree here. This was supposed to be a good horse, and now you got, who knows what you could do. I mean, there's obviously some fun to be had with him going forward.
Yeah, he has opened up a whole new world for himself, and you know, we'll have to find out whether he can duplicate that effort on a fast racetrack, and we'll find that out, and probably in his next start. But it was quite a performance. He ran a very, very fast and on the sheets, and we'll see if he can come back and duplicate that on the on a fast track, or get lucky and get rain every time we're running. One of the two.
Well, you also, the beauty of a horse like this, who broke his maiden, you know, going a mile on the grass at Gulfstream, while progressing, you could enter him in grass races and leave him in if the rain comes off. I mean, at Saratoga this summer, he should be a dangerous commodity.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that you can do, but I'm sure off of that effort, we're going to
you're going to stay dirt.
You know,
sure.
and then we're going to find out what we've got. We'll see if it's for real or not in this next start. I'm sure we haven't sit down and give it a plan yet. I talked to Eddie Kelly, who was a manager at KMET yesterday, and we'll let the dust clear a little bit and then pick him out a spot and see what we have, see if we can duplicate that effort. And if he does, then it is going to be exciting. Then I'm going to sit back and say, hey, I made a mistake. I should have kept him on the dirt. But he just didn't perform the way we thought he would. He'd had a trip to Ellis Park. We had him down to Ellis Park and almost ready to go to the race, and they had a storm and canceled the races for his first start.
Oh, that's right.
He delayed it 2 or 3 weeks. And then we ran him at Churchill. He had trained really good and solid. He's not a spectacular workhorse, but trained solid. And he just didn't lift his feet. He just galloped around there. But it was one turn. It was a sprint the first time out. You know, maybe jumped too quick, but then he went right to the grass and got good and solid, and we kept him there. But Mr. Kelly made the call. Fortunately for me, I got the benefit of it. And he said, let's try him one more time and just make sure. And we did, and we tried him in the right day in the right race. So I'm happy to learn from anybody.
Well, he was a 2-year-old in training sale purchase, and a modest purchase, $110,000 at OBS last year. And how quickly did he come to you after the sale? He made his first start at Churchill, as you mentioned, on my wedding anniversary, actually, on September 17th.
Well, you should have. It was really a hunch bet for you then.
I didn't notice that when I handicapped.
And on your anniversary.
Yep.
I'd have to look back when we got him. I think I got him in May. I wasn't in on the purchase of him. I think either Jack Millman and Eddie Kane probably did it. I don't know that. I'm throwing them out there just because they look at all of them. And then he came from the sale. I think he went to the farm for a little bit or to one of their places, and then he came to me. He's not a great big robust horse. He's a little bit small. He's not small. He's just not just a huge big horse. He's been very good to train with. He's got a great mind on him. He's been easy to have. So we've had him probably since early summer or late spring.
Well, and clearly, you look at the horses he was running into as he worked toward getting that diploma, that debut race, that was the follow-up to the Ellis race, what's known as the John Tipman race, that produced so many horses and then ended up in the race with Promises Fulfilled and Rubus. That has been a productive maiden race as well from the two-year-olds.
It has, and you know, that probably was a tougher race than at the time you thought it was. And
right.
The horses that have come out of it are good and solid. And again, it was a sprint instead of two turns. So, of course, this wasn't two turns either, but it was a mile. And he's matured. This horse has really come around, even from the winter at his grass races. I mean, his two grass races, if you look at that, weren't good, were on yielding turf courses, both of them. And his others were very good, and he's matured, he's developed, he's got himself good and solid. Brian came over and worked him now, but in his last work at Churchill, and he thought he worked really well. So he had worked well on the dirt, and when we knew we were going to run him on the dirt, put a good solid effort in him and with a rider on him to make sure, and he had galloped out really strong. So he was going in the right direction. Did we have any indication he was going to produce an effort like that? No, but, you know, you take a horse over there that's improving, they're happy, and they get the conditions that they want, and things happen. And it just turned out to be a great day for us, and lucky to be part of it for KMet.
Well, to run down some of the horses that were in that race, Promises Fulfilled won it. Rubus was second, and you know, then went out and won Next Start. Title Ready was in there for Steve Asmussen and Mr. Fipke. And Born in Nixa made his debut. That's the Steve Margolis that upset Meatol over the winter. So this was some group as well, and there was also a Next Out winner, Private Eye, that Samantha Siegel has with Paul McGee. It's amazing, and it just shows you.
Churchill, September. Yeah, just don't know.
And of course, there were horses coming out of it that had been in that hot maiden race at Ellis earlier in the summer. So you got to track them all. You don't know where they're coming from. Speaking of tracking, Rusty, Ipanema Beach, not going to be much longer before there's a graduation there.
Yeah, we really liked her the other day. Obviously, we've placed her in some tough spots, trying to do something a little unorthodox, but she had really, really done well into the maiden race, and you know, drew a little wide, no excuse, but we just got hung a little bit wide, and she made a good run at Ian's Philly and just couldn't get by her. But it wasn't like she didn't keep trying down the lane, because she was trying to get to her. Just Ian's Philly got to jump on her and ran a big race. We couldn't get by her. I think we pulled away from the field a little bit, so we were happy with that effort. And I think, I'm like you. I think she'll get her maiden broke pretty soon, and then hopefully can go on to do something else. We like her.
Well, in three, she's run five times since she debuted at Keeneland last year. In her three maiden races, she's been second three times. Then you tried her in graded stakes. The Golden Rod, she was fifth. The Ashland, she was fifth. And so, I mean, even against the stakes company, as you suggest, she didn't disgrace herself by any means.
No, we run the maiden against the Oaks winner at the time. We thought the Ashland was going to be a five-horse field. I mean, there was a little story to it, and thought, hey, here's a big race, and I'd actually been fairly lucky in the Ashland in the last few years, and got lucky enough to win it a couple of times.
That's right.
And the owner and I just talked to her, Peter Burgler, and I talked about it. I say, this might be a five-horse field, and they would take a chance. And then a couple jumped in, and there were seven, but she didn't disgrace herself. She ran solid and came out of it well, and then we came back to earth and put her in a maiden race, and she ran well. She just couldn't catch the last horse.
Well, and that horse, this came, of course, on Friday, and the nightcap, Ian Wilkes had a steamer. I mean, that Rizzoli was maybe 6-5, but by all rights, I singled her to end the pick four. I mean, running within a length of her, that's actually flattering.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. I think we got beat by a nice filly, and no disgrace. She just was better than us on that day, and I agree. She's a nice one, and hopefully we'll move forward.
Well, Rusty, we'll let you go, and I can't thank you enough, as always, and congratulate you. I hope I hope some people maybe got down as well for $80.
Well, we ruined a few people's day, I'm sure, but the people that hung in there, especially, I guess, what was the one in Rotama that she collected it
yes.
all, I think, with reading the story. So she's happy with me anyway.
Absolutely.
So, but anytime, Steve, I always enjoy it.
Rusty Arnold, everybody, and Funny Duck, and of course the woman at Rotama Park, $1.2 million on an $18 pick five ticket that started with Funny Duck and ended with the Derby favorite Justify, and somewhat of a special always opportunity when we can congratulate the Derby winner, and Bob Baffert joins us right now. And Bob, everything you expected, everything you had said about this horse basically comes to pass. Congratulations to you and the big group of happy winners associated with Justify.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Am I on?
You are on.
All righty.
Congratulations.
I got to go work and edit team there, horses, but yes, sir.
Bob, you anticipated a lot of things with this horse early on, and then to have a day like it turned out on Saturday where the rain comes and doesn't go away, talk about the anticipation of the start and then watching him perform the way he did.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, I'm telling you what, everybody's asking me, you having fun at the Derby? I said, no, I'm not having fun at the Derby. I'm freaking, every time I look up, there's rain's coming down, and, this track was just getting worse and worse. I thought, man, if it doesn't rain anymore, if it was like earlier in the day, it would have been perfect, but, when you don't have any control of the elements like that, it just makes it stressful. Because usually when you control things, we were confident. We knew going in, see, we had the best horse. He was training. He looked beautiful out there. Every morning you come out there, he looked like a man amongst boys. And but then the day comes, and then all of a sudden the track is changing, and I was having a bad 2 days. I mean, I was starting, my horses weren't getting away. We had Abel Tasman. I thought she couldn't lose. Didn't break, fell back, couldn't make up any ground. And you're just thinking, I go, I brought all these horses. Like, I got all these horses that I brought come from off the pace, and it's all speed. So I said, thank God that my only speed horse is the Derby horse. It was a tough 2 days for all of us, but boy, when he turned for home and he just kept on going, that's what the game does. You can be stressed out 1 minute and you're just over the moon the next minute. So, we were hoping, I knew I had the horse to do it, but we still had to do it. So, it just worked. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
There was every expectation that he would set up shop behind or with Dale's horse, with Promises Fulfilled. And I suppose the wet weather, we think back to American Pharoah and the Preakness, really something of a similar circumstance. And why take any chances? But what did you think when those fractions went up? Because this was one of the fifth fastest opening quarter, and he's the first horse to set that kind of a fraction or run that kind of an opening fraction and win since Bold Forbes.
Well, I mean, he's like, it takes a horse like him, American Pharoah. Like, American Pharoah's Derby wasn't one of his better races. It was sort of, his performance in the Derby was because, we realized after that, because I remember with American Pharoah, Jill asked me later that night, I said, hey, what happened? He had a struggle. I said, you know what? I think he wants to just be let run. So when we went to the Preakness, we said, we're going to just let this guy roll. And that's what we did with this horse. Those good, great horses like that, you just got to let them roll. And Pharoah's Preakness was probably his best race ever. I mean, that guy, I look back at it, he was going 22, and he was just stroking it like that, just kept on going. And that's what those good horses do. But, you know, so, you know, you just, you think about that, and that's what, you know, when you, you know, fortunately we had so much experience at this, and we know we've left there empty handed more times than none. And you just take away a little bit from every Derby experience. But, you know, we knew we had a American Pharoah type horse, and so, you know, but Mike, I told Mike, man, if you're going to have to get him rolling, you can't leave like you've been leaving. He was having a bad 2 days. I said, and he left there like he's riding a quarter horse. I said, you know, you just got to leave there. And he slapped him on the shoulder. He got him running. And once he got him clear there, then for the rest was just, you know, he just sat up against them and just hope everything works out. But they were smoking. They were cooking. And those, I wish I would have been watching on TVG because they don't show the fractions, you know. So, but, you know, they were going fast, but he didn't look like he was going that fast. And that's what those really good horses do. I remember, like, American Pharoah. When he won the Preakness, I remember my wife yelled out, "Oh, he's going too fast, 22 and change." I said, "Man, he doesn't look like he's going in 22 because the other horses might look it, but, you know, when they're those superior horses, they can do it. They can do it. You know, they do it effortlessly, and that's what he did. And he's just a big, strong horse, and he loved that stuff. We knew he loved it before when he ran at Santa Anita. So I think it really was, you know, after when it was all over, I said, I can't believe I've been fretting for 2 days. I said, I wish it would have been. I would have gone to a party, you know. The night before or something. But, you know, it just, to me, it's stressful because when you know you have a chance to win it, it's stressful. If you're going to have a long shot, you have fun, enjoy everything, take it all in. But, you know, I knew I had the horse to do it. And, you know, you get very limited chances. Trainers, you know, to have horses like this or be so fortunate that I've had, I mean, I've just stumbled on the horse. I mean, Pharoah, Arrowgate. Now this guy, it's just like, man, I'm just like, you know, and it's not going to be like that all the time because, you know, as trainers, you know, we go through, just like great teams, you're going to go through slumps, whatever, but, you know, we just keep working hard and glad that we've had the clientele now to, you know, we to send us these kind of horses. So, you know, Windstar and China Horse Club, you know, SF Bloodstock, they just, you know, they sent me this horse, and when I first heard they sent me a Scat Daddy, I go, well, you know, Scat Daddy, you think of mainly as turf horses. I go, well, that's weird, you know. And then when I went down there to look at him, I go, wow, he is, I mean, beautiful. I mean, he looks like a, you could show him at Halter, and he'd win a quarter horse show, I'm telling you. That's how beautiful he is, you know. And so he has that presence about him. But, man, I was so proud of him. He really laid it down. I mean, when he turned for home, I thought, wow. And I saw Good Magic come, and Good Magic really looked good in the paddock. And he looked good all week. And Audible looked good. Those three horses looked outstanding all week long. And so when they turned for home, I go, oh, boy. Man, I remember my wife said, I said something like, you know, show me what kind of horse you are. Show me how good you are. She said, I said. And boy, he did. He must have heard me, because he just took off.
He maintained the length and a half, 2-length lead down the stretch, and seeing him as white, the white jacket, and with everybody else mostly covered in mud, that always says a lot about a horse's performance. But when you look at the chart, Bob, and you see that anybody except Good Magic that was attending the pace, they ended up 11th through 20th, basically. And you know, people are saying, oh, he came home slow, like that means something now.
Well, I mean, you know what? It's like saying that Pharoah came home slow in the Preakness. You know, he was, first of all, he was carrying 145 pounds of water when he weighed out. But, you know, the goods were that he's a superior great horse. And that's what we saw. I mean, that's what we saw. And that was the toughest field I've ever been involved in. There's some good horses. And there's good horses that just didn't show up. They didn't run their race. Both the Oro. He's a really good horse. He just, he was trying to stay with us, but, you know, he probably wasn't getting over that stuff like some of the horses. And it's just, you know, Mendelssohn, he didn't have a chance. A lot, there was just, it's just that, it's like I was reading about Aidan O'Brien with Mendelssohn, you know, the savagery of leaving there with all the mud. It's bumper cars, and you have to get clear. If you can get clear of that, you have a chance. And you have a speed horse, you better get clear.
Well, he set up shop, and you know, for Mike Smith, you know, think about the Giacomo win, and that was important to him, given that it was a son of Holy Bull, and to win on this horse, a second Derby for him. And you know, you waited 13 years between War Emblem and American Pharoah, and now two in 4 years, basically, and continue to racket up these wins, Bob, in these big races. We got to talk about the Preakness in a minute. Talk about your pleasure and satisfaction winning a fifth Derby, and you're far from done.
Well, I mean, it's a great accomplishment. I never thought, when I first started out, I'd even win one Derby. You know, I just wanted to try it out and give it a chance, and I won. And when I ran second with Cavaneer, when I got beat, it was like the worst beat ever. I thought, this is my only chance. There's so many great trainers that never won it. And then to come back with Silver Charm to win it, and then I won it again, I thought, oh, well, this piece of cake, this is easy. And then it went dry. You know, the well went dry. And then I was lucky to buy War Emblem, found him. It was like a George Steinbrenner move. I bought a free agent a month before and won the Derby, and then we had to wait. We could have been looking at Lucky. He had a horrible. He had the one post got wiped out. We had Pioneer of the Now could have easily won. We had Mind That Bird and Kevin Burrell and that rail that you know that. And I'm not taking away from Mind That Bird. He was a good horse, but still, the Burrell rail thing was, you know, we were talking 10 lengths of a. It was huge factor to the way that track was. So. It's one of those things where, you know, I've left there just completely gutted. Like a lot of trainers left there. I've been there so many times, but I'm just fortunate that I've got a good horse. I had Point Given, who could not lose. Congaree, you know, they ran third and fifth. I left there shell shocked. Could not believe I got beat. So, you know, you learn, and every time I left there, I always thought, you know what? You know, he said, well, I think I'd maybe do a little bit different next time or whatever. So every horse is different. You have to train them a little bit differently. But I've really learned so much that education, you learn more from the losers. You know, what could I have done different? Every time I leave there, I always say, what could I have done differently what I could have done better? But you still need a really good horse. If you had a good horse, just like earlier, I really thought McKenzie back in December, I was thinking Triple Crown with him. He's that good a horse. And then unfortunately he gets hurt. And then here comes the walk-on, you know, the big chestnut. And so, he takes over and I go, wow, he breaks his mane. I thought, man, what do I have here? So, you know, one thing I can say, I've won the Derby with every color of horse. Silver Charm, the gray, War Emblem, the black, and the beige. So I've got them all covered.
That's true.
Bob, you got the turnaround, and Jimmy Barnes back at Churchill with the colt. Yesterday, you brought him out, and it's created a bit of a set of concerns about that left hind, him kind of favoring it, and you know, obviously on the soft going around the when he's walking around the shed row, not an issue. But tell us exactly what is going on and what your thoughts are. If there's, you know, some treatment that needs to be done, is some shoeing, and bring us up to speed.
Yeah, I talked to Jimmy. You know, first thing we got him out, and they jogged, and we went over to the veterinarian. He was fine, and when I got there for the press, I brought him out, and Churchill Downs, they just put this, they put like, usually they put like little gravel in front of the barn, but they put these, it's almost like rock that they put down. We have some rubber mats there, but apparently when he went out there, and we've been dealing with his hind foot, he'd get this, it's like scratches or whatever.
Like a thrush?
Whatever they get. No, it's not even thrush. No, it's like a diaper rash they get in their pasture, you know, just from the wet. The wet brings it on. It's like, usually we do them up right away. And he wasn't, I said, don't do them up with that, because if we bring them out with that, they're going to, what's going on with the hind foot? But we keep it to keep it soft. You know? And so I brought him out, and he stepped on, and it bit him. You know, he stepped on one of those things, and it really, like when he turned on it, it really was, you could tell he flinched on it. But, we've been doing it, and today he's just so much better. It's just like he's walking great on it now. And so it's one of those things where, you know, I probably shouldn't have left him in. It's just something, you know, when you're on a wet track, you're a lot of horses, they'll get, they get the, you know, it stings their feet. It does. So you're going to get a little something out of it. And so with him, it's a hind foot. It's, you know, today it looked normal. He came out, he was fine, you know, but yesterday he just got on those rocks and it just caused this big. And then all of a sudden I didn't think it was a big deal. And I got a text, hey, you want to explain this? And I saw the video and I go, oh shit, you know, but it's one of those things where, we're not worried about it. It's just something that it happens. And I've had horses, a few horses, but he's had a little history of it. It's happened to him here this winter, in between races, and, you know, for a couple of days there, they might be a little sensitive, but then he's fine.
When will he go back to the track, if anticipating?
I like to walk him like 4 days, you know, like after San Diego Derby, I walked him 5 days. It depends, you know. I like to, you know, he ran a hard race. Like in San Diego Derby, he ran a hard race. So, and he's lightly raced, so I just, you know, it depends. Usually I go 4 days with him. After Sandita, I went 5, so maybe I'll take him out and jog him or whatever. But in the 4th or 5th day, but he looked good. He actually was, you know, he ate well, and he looked very bright yesterday. He really was bright. He was like pushing us around, so that's a really good sign.
You could see there was one, Twin Spires put up a video from the backside of the barn, and you could see that as he walked the shed, he was very bright and alert.
Very bright. Yeah. I mean, he was very, yeah. I love the way, you know, because Jimmy was, you know, man, he looks great. He finished up. I know after the race, you know, we were trying to feed him. He didn't want carrots. He just wanted his grain. And he's a good doer. One thing about him, he eats well. And, you know, as long as the horse is eating well, that means he's not stressed out or any you know, discomfort. I'm happy with it. We had the hind issue, but like I said, we've dealt with that same little problem there. So we just, you know, unfortunately I brought him out. I should have just kept him in there. We wouldn't even be having a discussion. It's really a non-issue for me, but
All right,
like I said, if he gets on that plane next Wednesday, hey, you know, he's going to put on another show.
Well, it was, to me, an amazing confirmation that even as good as he has looked coming to Saturday, you still wonder, and there's all that history, Bob, that everybody, you know, kept bringing that up, and no horse in 100 plus years, everything that was going on, it keeps like a little in the back of your mind. No matter how good you think the horse is, you think no other horse has done this in this long. There's got to be something that holds them back, but there was no holding him back.
You know, I really think, you know, there might have been some truth to that, but it's totally different now. People take their time getting these horses, bringing them around. They have little issues or whatever. But, you know, one thing about, like, Elliot Walden, he's always told me, he says, now, look at, after the San Diego Derby, Bob, if you think it's too much for him, you don't have to take him to the Derby. Just, you know, you just treat him like it's your horse. If you want to wait for the Preakness, we can do that. You know, so I says, hey, let me see how he is. If he gets on that plane, I feel really good about the horse. And that's the way I feel about all my horses, even with American Feral. You know, I was, If they're doing well, we'll put them on the plane. If not, so he's a horse that, but he showed us what a great horse and what he was when he broke his maiden. That was incredible when he broke his maiden. But I don't know if you've seen him up close. He is the most beautiful horse. He's gorgeous. He's a gorgeous horse.
There he is. Well, you showed him to Lenny Shulman, and you said, "Do you want to come meet the Derby winner?"
Well, he was doing an article, and he said, "Where are you going?" He says, "I got to go do an interview." I said, "Well, you better come see the Derby winner."
He said, and you were right.
It's amazing that groom. I gave him to that groom. That groom groomed American Pharoah, Arrogate, now him. It's like, when they go in the paddock, I always tell the grooms, "Hey, how was he?" You know, always tell them, how's he feeling? And he goes, "Oh, listo. That means ready. Because sometimes they bring him up there and they'll say, they come up there quiet, like, "Oh, that's not good." You know,
that's not good.
But, that groom, when he told me, "What do you think, Listo?" And he handled those people. I knew he would handle those people. He's a very intelligent horse. You know, he didn't get shook up. But he got a little shook up. I was watching the show is when they, after they played the old Kentucky home, they were cheering there. He's by the rail, and he got a little bit, and Mike was, like, petting him there. And I did have the earplugs in him, though. And we took him out when he went in the gate, but just in case, but. You know, he got a little stirred up just a tad there, but I think a lot of them did too. But I just wish my parents were here to you know, that's the only thing missing, that they're not here to see all this. You know, I really enjoyed them watching this, but it was really, it's gratifying to me. It's more, I'm trying to get these owners to the Derby. You know, I've been there. I've done it, but I want them. I like to see them excited. To me, and it's for them. You know, it used to be when I won them, it was for me. But now I just like when the Zayats won. It was just, they've gone through all the seconds, and to watch them, the way they acted, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And watching, you know, Kenny Trout and the China Horse Club people and Starlight and, you know, Soul was going crazy. I mean, it's a priceless feeling, because that race is so important to all of us. I mean, that is the you take Kentucky Derby out of the thoroughbred business, man, it'd be tough to keep people interested. You know, everybody wants to go to the Derby, everyone wants a Derby horse, but that Derby walk, they need to do something different there. It's a little bit too
out of control.
Yeah, you know, it's not good.
You bring up a great point, Bob, that I had never thought of. You, five Derby wins for five different sets of connections.
Well, I mean, that's how it's difficult. You know, it's a very difficult situation. But you know, to me, you know, the trainer's probably, the jockey's 10%, trainer's 10%. The rest is the horse. One thing about it, every good, in all my winners, they were the best horse, you know, and I got beat with the best horses, you know. So I've probably had more chances than any trainer that ever ran in the Derby. I mean, if you go look back, I mean, I could have easily won eight, and then we just had bad racing luck. So I've just had a lot of chances, and and the older you get, man, you don't want to blow those chances. So to me, it's very, you know, we just stay very focused, and it's all about, you know, stay focused. And I got a great team, all my riders, my grooms, got Jimmy. You know, we know what we need to do, and we don't get caught up, you know, the media, just, you know, I don't get caught up in that. Just keep a low profile, just keep it low, you know, just, I don't, you know, like a lot of people, they want you to say, yeah, like, well, Bob seems really quiet. Well, I didn't want to bring a lot of attention. I already have the attention. I don't really want to bring that to me, you know. So, but we just want to go there, enjoy ourselves, win that race, and go home. So it's nice to be back in beautiful California. Now we're starting all over. We got to start all over. We got 2 year-olds coming in. So
2 year-olds are on the way. Well,
I just hope there's another one in there. I hope there's another one in there. So.
Well, if we're going to talk historic, and of course you got a chance to go to Baltimore and tie a 100-year-old plus training title, winning trainer record at the Preakness, and if he should win there, you've got a chance to do something only Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons has done potentially, which is send out 2 Triple Crown winners. So there's still plenty of history to make, Bob.
I should have 3.
There's the old Baffert. That's the old Baffert we love.
3, believe me. I look back, I go, how did that get away from me? Man.
So
but I know it was fun. There's nothing when they hit the wire, I was just so relieved. I said, man, I'm glad I didn't mess this up. You know what I mean, as a trainer. I've got this tremendous great horse, and just I'm glad it's like American Pharoah. Oh, that loss at Saratoga, I still have nightmares about it, but it's great there.
Well, Bob,
I gotta get back to work here.
Get ahead, go get at it, and we're making sure there's going to be fried chicken for you next week at Pimlico.
No, it's great crab cakes. We're going to Crab cakes, Michael. That's where you find me.
Right, absolutely, buddy. Michaels.
We'll be ready. All right, my man.
I love it, Bob. Thanks so much. Right. Unbelievable, Bob Baffert, everybody. And he flashed a little bit of the old boisterous Baffert there at the end. I should have 3 Triple Crown winners. That was great. Well, so much to do tomorrow, and we've got so many more conversations. Got to get to Ben Colebrook and talk about Limousine Liberal and Brendan Walsh, Proctor's Ledge. I want to get, I know we got Cassie tomorrow as well, and he'll talk about Salty and her terrific win in the La Troyenne. And in fact, Mark made a lot of right decisions. He ran Awesome Slew, and he looked like a winner in the Churchill Downs. Mid-stretch, it looked like he was traveling best, and then here came Limousine Liberal, here came Warriors Club. What a run he put in. They would have torn the place down if Warriors Club had won. Very good sneaky efforts from all the Lucas horses, by the way, Saturday. Bravazo ran very well. In fact, a couple of the horses that were the longest shots on the board and horses that, personally, I eliminated early from my own ticket building. Bravazo ran a very nice race, 6th in there, and of course Instilled Regard, but Warriors Club and also Sporting Chance, and Sporting Chance heading to Baltimore as well. So a lot to do tomorrow. We'll get Andy Serling in here, get Andy's postscript, talk about that race shape. In fact, he and I were talking a little yesterday, and they some interesting perspective. We've got, I mentioned Cassie's definitely, Cassie and the others. We've got to get to Steve Asmussen, too. Mia Mischief, but he won his 8,000th race. 8,000th as a trainer. That was with Looking at Lee. Boy, there were ex-Derby runners everywhere you looked. Right? Yeah, the last couple of days. Brad Cox, Simon Callahan, Neil Drysdale, Rusty Arnold, and 5-time Derby winning conditioner Bob Baffert, as well as Johnny D. Thanks, everybody. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. If you missed anything, podcast or archive, Jay Privman's got more on the hoof issue, but I think Baffert assuaged that pretty thoroughly. If you want to play today, Finger Lakes, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer, Parks, Sam Houston, Sunray, Thistledown, and Will Rogers. Your racetrack options. Day 2 of Postscript to Derby and Oaks. We'll join you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. Good luck if you're playing. Talk to you in the morning.
latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Hey folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Marilyn for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.